You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Tuesday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:40pm with Darren Owen, Gary Capewell and Dale Gibson in the studio. We've got action in both codes and on the all-weather on Tuesday. We've got National Hunt Racing from Exeter, all their action at Lingfield and racing on the flat at Windsor in the afternoon, and more all-weather action to come in the evening as well from Wolverhampton. So plenty to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton. Joining me in the studio is Mr. James Millman. How are you, James?
Not too bad. Apart from a winter cough that's going around, pretty good.
Yeah, you don't sound your normal self.
No. A little bit rusty today.
Yeah.
That's not so good.
All right, apart from that, good?
From that, yeah, no, we had a good weekend. And, all is good.
All right, what did you make of Champions Day? It seemed to be, it's usually a success, but it has its critics. But this year, I think it went very well.
Yeah, no, apart from the slightly earlier start, obviously the rugby, they thought that England might still be in the quarterfinals. So it did start 12:45, slightly earlier than normal, which could have caught a few people out. But cracking racing, we had four group ones and we had some decent winners.
Yeah.
And a great day's race. And probably the weakest race, perhaps, maybe in quality, was actually the Champion Stakes itself, which probably just lacked a little bit of quality. But I think the other three group ones were proper good races. And I'll say it was good to watch.
Proper good races.
Not very good English there, I don't mind.
You've been in Yorkshire too long, I think.
That's the problem, eh, up.
So we're going to start with a Monday jury, which, no surprise, there is some elements of Champions Day in there. Then we'll move on to Tuesday's action and a significant piece of news as well. But we'll start with the Monday jury. What were the knockout performances for you, Equine and Human, from Champions Day?
Equine, I'll go for Solo. He's not really got the recognition he deserves, I don't think, because all year he's been winning these Group 1s and doing it very, very easily. And you can't take that away from him. He's not very flashy, he just gets the job done. But every single time he's been asked a question, he's always answered them. And he's had a long season as well, because a lot of horses don't really last that long as such. But he's every single question he's been asked, he's answered emphatically. And I was really impressed with him. Not too far behind was Muhara. He was devastating in the sprint.
Yeah.
Fortunately, I think that's the last time we're going to see him, and he's going to be off to stud. But that was a career best. And no, hard to split those two. And Human... Charlie Hills, probably, just the way he's trained his sprinters. And obviously Muhara, the best one, but he's got a lot of good ones in behind. And again, he freshened Muhara up and got him back at his best as well at the end of the season. So probably we'll keep Muhara and Charlie Hills as a kind of Human part in the Equine Solo.
Can't argue with that. If you're on Simple Verse, would you go the Cup or middle distance route next year?
Well, for me, she's all about stamina. She just got up over that mile and a half trip on Saturday. And I think she might just lack the class on quick ground in Group 1 company, especially against the Colts. But I think Sheikh Fahad said King George would be what the race he'd kind of like to go for. For me, I think she's going to be all about stamina. And I think she might just lack a little bit of toe on very, very fast ground. But she's improving a lot. She's improved so much this year, she might well improve again after another winter off. So I certainly wouldn't rule her out. But for me, probably more of a cup horse than a top mile and a half horse. Like, I think she might not be good enough like King George and stuff like that, but you never know the way she's improved recently.
How far do you think she'd stay? Do you think the Ascot Gold Cup will be something? Because it doesn't look the strongest.
Well, no, that's
division
the thing. It's a lot weaker. Like, for me, she's definitely going to stay 2 miles. That extra half a mile is a bit of a question mark, but for me, she's just looked all stamina. But obviously Rafe Beckett's a genius with fillies, and he's going to know where to place her. But for me, I think her best opportunity of being a champion as such will be the cup route rather than the middle distance route. But I'm sure she'll be successful whatever she does.
What chance would you give Glen Eagles against American Pharoah in the Breeders' Cup?
Tricky one. Obviously, Aidan O'Brien's not run him all season because the ground's been unsuitable. They let him take his chance on Saturday when the ground's actually probably worse at Ascot than what it was at Goodwood or even York. So he ran okay. The problem for me is that his actual early season form is not very strong. The 2000 Guineas has not worked out at all well Ivorwood, Bossy Guest, etc. They're only really Group 3 listed class horses that are in behind him. And he actually, Territories obviously came second in 2000 guineas. He was actually behind him on Saturday. So, yes, he's probably not as effective on easy ground, but it's a question mark for me is how much he's actually trained on from 2 to 3, how much he's improved. Would he even be good enough to beat Solo at his best? I think perhaps not. Interesting to see how he's going to get on the dirt, because obviously it's going to be a big test, totally different running style. I think it's going to be difficult, and like I say, I think Aidan O'Brien probably didn't want to run him on Saturday. I think the owners were quite keen to run. Obviously there's been a lot of pressure to run him, but seriously, I'd be very, very surprised if he could get anywhere near American Pharaoh.
American Pharaoh 2-1, Glen Eagles 12-1 in the betting at the moment for the Breeders' Cup Classic. How much do you think it was just down to him needing a run or the ground, or do you just think he's not well, like you say, not
combination of probably all three. Yeah. I would say having a horse prepped for 4 big races and not running, obviously just giving him a gallop, that is not ideal. And again, he, despite the fact we've not seen him around in 23 days, he's had a hard season, he's not had a break. So that could have been an issue. But I just don't think he's quite as good as Bayador hoped he would be. And definitely on the ground, he's not quite as good on that kind of ground anyway. But I think it's just a little bit of lacking ability as well.
Yeah, I wonder what went through his head. I mean, he's obviously been wound up and then taken back down several times.
Especially Group 1 horses, you train them specifically for that day. It's not like when you've got a handicapper, you probably keep them 80% fit all the time. To win any Group 1, you've got to be 100% for that day. And to go there and not run, I think it's probably has just maybe mentally he probably needed a run as well. But I'll say, great if they ran him in a classic. I'm just not too sure how he's going to fare.
Yeah, going into the stalls. And what are we doing? I don't do this.
Normally he gets into the paddock and then he goes back to the stable again. Yeah. So it was a bit of a shock.
We're actually doing this today, are we?
I'll say Aidan O'Brien after. Well, Aidan O'Brien before the race was kind of giving all the excuses necessary. And afterwards he was saying, well, perhaps we shouldn't have run. That summed it up for me.
Yeah. Do you fancy Silvestro de Souza to successfully defend his title next year?
Yeah, I think so. If he takes a similar route to what he has this year, dominating the lower class meetings. I think we saw he would go to perhaps the Cataract when there was a big day's racing where he could probably bag 4 winners. He's off to America in the winter. Interesting to see how that goes. And I think he's got every chance because he treats every race the same. It's a little bit like AP McCoy. You get the same Silvestro de Souza, whether it's a seller or whether it's a Group 1, whereas perhaps some of the bigger names aren't that bothered about winning the little class 6 handicaps and the lower grade stuff. So winners-wise, I think he's always got a great chance. It does always depend on Ryan Moore, because Ryan Moore's been very unlucky of injury. I think he would have obviously been very, very close to him if he hadn't got injured. And that's probably the main issue. But I think Silvestro's got a very, very good chance.
It's tricky with Ryan Moore, isn't it? Because he's going to go to Ireland quite a lot. He's going to go abroad at the end of the season usually. And
he's going to emphatically say, I don't care about the Jockey Championship.
But he's going to ride that many winners if he's fit that he might just win it anyway.
That's the thing. But ultimately, like you say, the Sunday riding for Cornwall, or so many other big days as well. So it's not easy to know. Perhaps whoever's getting the most of the Hannam rides, maybe Sean Levy or Pat Dobbs, they could be a little bit of a surprise figure. Because obviously Richard Hughes has taken quite a few of those opportunities at the start of the season. He retired early, but it did mean that Silvestro was basically left with a clear run, and I'd say he made the most of it.
What do you think about the shortened Stobart Jockey Championship?
Well, I was one of the few in here that was in favour of giving it a bit of a chance. KP, Darren Owen, etc. shot me down in flames, but we've had a lot of publicity for it. If it had been run the normal time, Silvestro still would have won it. Fortunately for them, Ryan got injured, and that kind of ruined the whole point of shortening it, because all the best jockeys are still in the UK, whereas now the Australian races have started, Breeders' Cup has started, those jockeys are going to be going elsewhere rather than staying in the UK. So I'll give it a few more years to work out. The Apprentice Championship probably, that made it a little bit more frustrating, because we've also, in recent years, the Apprentice title's generally gone to the wire, and we've still got another 3 weeks, 4 weeks of flat racing to go, and that perhaps would have been more interesting. But no, I think for the main jockeys, I think it's been a good thing. We've had a bit more publicity for it.
Final question of this week's Monday. Jory, looking further afield, what's your anti-post tip for the Melbourne Cup?
Well, Trip to Paris ran an absolute cracker, finishing second in the Caulfield Cup. Mile and a half, which, bearing in mind, he was a pretty average handicapper last year until set up to these extreme distances. He won the Ascot Gold Cup over 2.5 mile, and you would have thought it was just extreme stamina that brought him into play in top company. But He ran an absolute cracker there. And Trevor Whitehouse-Jones, who does all the work with them at over abroad, Ed Lad, does a really, really good job of them. And he's done very, very well. Red Caddo, you can't exactly rule him out, 3 seconds in the race. And Robin's still been very, very positive about him. So I think Ed Dunlop's got a great chance in the race. I'm afraid after that trial, I've got to stick with Trip to Paris.
Yeah. Impressive, wasn't he, really? Because that won't be his ideal trip. He'd be better again for the step-up.
They said if he came in the first four, they would be over the moon.
Yeah.
So to come second, I think the favourite, the Japanese horse, came sixth. So that was a really, really good run. And bearing in mind, he's going to be so much better when he steps up in Trip as well. So I thought that was an absolutely cracking effort.
7-1 at the moment for the Melbourne Cup Trip to Paris. Bit of big news to discuss as well before we move on to Tuesday's action. Massive shake-up in the way that maidens will work from next season.
Yeah, definitely. Shock news, to be honest, when I read that this morning. I put the old phone on and the latest news came through, because there's not really been any murmurs. There's been a lot of moaning about small fields and how that needs to be sorted as such. I think it's a great idea. Obviously, in the jump racing, we have the novice sphere, where you can win two or three races, get a penalty, but you can run up a sequence in lower grade before you're forced up into the higher grade races. And I think it can work, because when you've got two-year-olds, especially at the start of the season, once you win your maiden, if you win your maiden in March or April when you're only really a 75 horse, you're very, very limited, because generally you're not going to be good enough to win a novice race, because you're going to have some 100 rated horses in it or whatever. But there's no real option for you to go. But at least this will keep the field sizes up, because you're going to have lots of newcomers or horses needing the free runs for nursery marks. And I think it could be a fascinating trial anyway. And great on the BHA for doing something different, because generally the changes they've made perhaps have been very, very minor, which haven't really made much difference. But that could certainly see a lot more competitive fields. And it will be very interesting to see how it works. I think trainers that get their 2 years out early are going to be really happy. It's going to give you a lot more opportunities. And it could be a fascinating new spectrum of flat racing.
Yeah, I said maiden program there, didn't I? I should have said juvenile program, because 90% of the maiden races at the first half of the season will become juvenile races.
Disappearing. So it's going to be a little bit like, say, you get your novice hurdles, you get your odd maiden hurdle thrown in, it'll be exactly the same scenario. And then when the nurseries come out, I think that will then be phased out, because obviously horses have the options of running in nurseries then. But I think that's a really, really good idea. And hopefully it works well. But I'd say good on the BHA of doing something different.
Yeah. And it's not going to be of detriment to the newcomers either, because there'll be penalty system in place,
I would
so
imagine
the ones that have won.
Jumping, I think you get £6, £10, £14 for your 1, 2 and 3 wins, and it'll be interesting to see if it's enough to stop them. Mark Johnson, I think, will be absolutely rubbing his hands, because obviously he's concentrating more on the 2-year-old aspect of things this year. He's had an absolutely brilliant season training 2-year-olds for the Shakes. For him, I think it'll be absolutely brilliant, because he struggled a little bit with a lot of winners. I think he had 3 2-year-old winners on the first day. They were then forced into basically the same races, but he can now plot different novice races. So obviously there will be the old maidens, and I think it'll be an excellent thing to do.
Mm. Anything else in the news caught your eye before we move on?
Not particularly. I think Champions Day hogged the headlines, and like I say, look forward to jump racing really getting going next week.
Yeah, kicks you off with Cheltenham this weekend, and we've got Aintree and Charlie Hall as well, and all very good stuff coming up over the jumps. But we're going to concentrate on Tuesday's action next, and James has got 4 races to go through for us, and we'll get his thoughts next.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
We start with a jumps race. We look at the 240 at Exeter. First up, this is a Class 4 handicap hurdle over 2.25 miles. So 3 years and older, we've got a field of 8 here, James, and two pretty in-form runners, Drifter and Bulletproof, both racked up bits of sequences at the moment.
Yeah, definitely. Out of those two, I'd probably just favour Bulletproof, who has been doing extremely well for Ken Cunningham Brown in recent weeks. Like you say, getting a hat-trick up at Newton Abbott and Exeter, the West Country tracks, and it's pretty quick ground there at Exeter tomorrow. It's going to be good to firm. Obviously, they don't race in the summer, so they don't actually water at Exeter, so it'll be pretty quick. It'll be decent ground, though. And Bulletproof certainly handles this kind of surface, and he has gone up a fair bit, £25 for those 3 wins. But he won by 5 lengths here at Exeter last time out. He's just got confidence sky high. Slight question mark will be the step up in Trip, but he's been second over 2.5 at Worcester beforehand, where he looked like he stayed the Trip fine, and I don't think that should be a problem. And I think he can make it 4 wins in 4 races. Drifter's obviously another one that's on a hat-trick bid. He won at Perth and Sedgefield under today's jockey Paul O'Brien, who takes off a useful £7. But for a 4-year-old, he's got a lot of weight, 11 stone 12 on his back. so that's not going to be easy. And he might just find this one step too far. Of the others, the ones that are interesting are the bottom weight, ready? Prince of Poets, David Pipes runner, owned by the Johnson family. I mean, a little bit disappointing since going into Handicap Company, where he's generally been near the head of the market. But better effort when third to Bulletproof last time out, only beaten seven lengths. He's got a £10 turnaround, and Kieran Edgar again retains the ride. So I can certainly see Prince of Poets getting much closer to Bulletproof, and Prince of Poets probably be the alternative to Ken Cunningham Brown's runner. But I think he can make it, I'd say, four in a row.
Bulletproof, the selection for James then in the 240 at Exeter. Moving on to Windsor for their 320 next. It's Division 1 of this particular 6 furlong handicap for runners rated 0 to 85. It's for 3-year-olds and older, a field of 13 here, James. So quite an open event.
Yeah, nice and easy for me, isn't it, really? And they've divided this. It's got a big field. And to be fair, it's quite rare for Windsor to be racing on a Tuesday. I always thought it was only ever Monday evenings or afternoons at this time of year, but this is probably one of the first meetings we've had here, and it's had a big field. I'd say this race is split, 26 were declared, so we've got 13 in each division. And the interesting one for me is Piazon for Kevin Ryan and Jamie Spencer. He has been a little bit disappointing since joining this yard. Was trained by Michael Bell originally, but was purchased for a fair bit of money to join the Ryan yard. It's taken a little while to get him in peak form, but a third off 83 at Ripon and 85 at Haydock on easy ground. And as you run not bad races in some very, very competitive sprints at Ayr in York the last twice, this is slightly weaker. He's got a course win next to his name, and I think perhaps he might just finally be coming to himself with a stable switch. And Jamie Spencer takes a ride for the first time in a while, so I think Piazon will be the selection. Of the others, you've got to mention last time out winner Flashy Queen, who won at Nottingham, beating Burning Fred. Burning Fred won at Bath on Sunday. A slight concern will be the £7 claimer Sean Mooney, who I don't know very much about. He's had one ride so far in his career, and that was on Presburg. Didn't really go that well, so like I say, he missed a break and never got involved. So, jockey having only a second ride, he's going to have to be a very, very good jockey to be winning that early on in his career. Generally, your first few rides, you don't know what's happening. So I think that'd be a really good effort if he could. But jockey's got to be a little bit of a concern on that one. And one to take a look at the market would be Power the Cat, who is trained by Brian Gubby, the Dam Evenstorm I actually rode many, many years ago. So that shows you how old I'm getting. But this one's lightly raced, but did win on its comeback in 2014 at Windsor, first time out, so goes well fresh. Has been off a track for 492 days, but if fit and ready to go, Power the Cat could be interesting for Brian Gubby and William Twiston Davis. But at the moment, just looking at it specifically on the older form, Piazon, I think, has a cracking chance, and that'll be the selection for Jamie Spencer and Kevin Ryan.
On to Division 2 of this Windsor Handicap next. This is at 355, and again, a field of 13, and again, it's quite an open affair.
Yeah, definitely very, very competitive. The one I probably like is Spring Loaded for Paul Darcy and Sean Levy. Won pretty nicely at Kempton before finishing second last time out. He's £3 lower due to the fact he's not penalised this time, and he's very well handicapped, and I think he's going to be very, very hard to beat. So Spring Loaded will be the selection in the second division of the race. Clergyman would be interesting. He's been off a track for 368 days, but if he's fit enough to do himself justice, he could be a danger for Martin Mead and Thurgood Sweeney. But Spring Loaded, I think, has got a great chance.
Springloader then the selection there. And moving to Wolverhampton for the final race we look at. This is the 610 at Wolverhampton, which is a Class 4 handicap over the extended mile. It's for 3-year-olds and older. We've got a field of 10 here, James, and I suppose we could start with Ambleside down at the bottom of the weights there, winning over course and distance last time.
Yeah, won well for Mick East to be, and certainly going to be dangerous. But the one I do like is Fleckerel, who had a good time midsummer for Willie Muir. A little bit disappointing the last few times, but he's got lots of a weather form next to his name. Rowan Scott gets on very, very well with him and takes off a useful £7, which will take him to 8 stone 10, and he'll be carrying the least weight in the field. And I think Fleckerel could well bounce back. Reggie Bond always runs well over this course and distance, but still 10 could be a bit of a concern on the very, very tight mile circuit at Wolverhampton. So I think I'd take a chance on Fleckerel for Willie Muir and Rowan Scott.
Fleckerel, the selection in the 6-10. As usual, James, let's just have a quick summary if you'll spin us through your selections for Tuesday one more time.
Yeah, in the 240 at Exeter, we're going to go for Bulletproof to get the four timer. In the 320 at Windsor, the first division of the sprint, we've gone for Piazon to finally get on the winning trail for Kevin Ryan and Jamie Spencer. The second division, Spring Learner could be very, very well handicapped off a £3 lower mark and finishing second on the weather last time out. So I think he's got a great chance for Paul Darcy. And then finally in the 6-10 at Wolverhampton, hopefully Fleckerall can bounce back for William Muir and Rowan Scott.
Good stuff. Thank you very much, James. Good luck and enjoy it on Tuesday.
No worries.
There you go, the thoughts of James Millman on Tuesday's racing. You'll hear it all on Racing Radio from 1:40 p.m. Darren Owen, Gary Capewell and Dale Gibson will be the team in the studio for the meetings at Exeter, Lingfield and Windsor in the afternoon and Wolverhampton in the evening. Plenty to get stuck into. Do tune in for all that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast and enjoy Thursday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.